Okay, thank you as well. So we've so far had a little bit of a historical exposition and discussion of the topic, as well as some introductory remarks that talk about the ways in which race and discrimination may feature from different perspectives in different communities, the East Indian community, for example. So my next question to you all, and do feel free to pick upon anything that you've heard so far. Do we live in a segregated country? There are some people in the WhatsApp who've noted that Barbados is an apartheid society. I've seen some people saying that they never knew there were so many white people in Barbados until they saw a photograph of certain events. I've seen people say that they've never interacted with a white Barbadian, and the white people they have interacted with in the country are predominantly tourists. There are people who will say that the only interactions they've had with the East Indian community is in a shop or the salespeople coming around. Is this a segregated place? And what does this mean for racism in Barbados? Anyone can go ahead. No one wants to try? Okay, Professor Kamagisha, what do you think? Is this a segregated country?
Certainly. I mean, I think that the nature of the way that Barbadian society in post-emancipation times emerged meant that there was some, even if it was not always legal, there were certain very clear social understandings and penalties associated with breaching certain social understandings that marked off certain areas as areas for whites and as areas for blacks. And certainly in post-independence times, you've seen a general kind of retreat from that kind of rigid segregation. So certain schools, which were very much figured as white schools or social clubs or sports, you've seen more and more Black people entering those, especially with the greater socioeconomic advancement of a segment of the Black population in Barbados. Especially because in the post-independence dispensation, there are many stories of the ways in which that initial post-independence government in 1966, 1976 actually had to confront some of these schools and confront some of these social institutions and state to them and make it very clear that the former apartheid policies that you have don't actually work anymore. So there is more mixing and socialization in Barbados than even when I was a child growing up in the 1980s. But at the same time, there is, of course, still the segregation that takes place. And I think that one of the things that we have to be aware of, and I was trying to make that point earlier, is that global forces have always been constitutive of the Barbadian experience of race, both in the past and also in the present. And this has both a negative side and a positive side. The negative side, of course, would come in things like the transatlantic slave trade, which is imposed from without. It would also come in the sense that Barbados is constantly re-importing racist tropes, which are present in the world, because we live in a society which is 95% Black, but we live in a world which is highly anti-Black, in which to be a Black person is to be a person who is not granted full citizenship and is treated with dishonor and respect throughout the world. Okay? So racist understandings from the rest of the world are consistently being brought back into the Barbadian equation. On the other hand, though, and I'll say this and then I'll stop. We should be aware that Barbados has also imported and been a participant in progressive understandings of race that have come from outside. So I'm particularly thinking here of global anti-colonialism, but I'm also thinking about Black consciousness and the kind of revolving way in which Black consciousness has worked over the last century. So there are many fine Barbadians who made a decisive impact on questions of Black consciousness in North America and throughout the Caribbean in the 20th century. And also as a return bid, you have a situation in which Black power, civil rights in the United States, ideas of global Black consciousness have had a very important impact on Barbados. And we saw that, of course, as recently as the recent Black Lives Matter protests, because I don't think there's anybody who can really doubt that without what happened last year with Black Lives Matter, Nelson's statue would still be up. Because even though, of course, obviously there have been protests and there have been decorations that should be moved for many decades in Barbados, the particular moment and the particular will wasn't there. But all of those things came together last year, partly based on local movements, but also based on that consciousness that they are in conversation with and the global forces are out there beyond Barbados.
Thank you. Other panelists, what are your thoughts on all that the professor had said, yes, as well as this question? Yes, yes, go ahead, Rodney.
I don't think that we live in a segregated society because we no longer have the Strathclydes, but this is something, when you study Barbados carefully, you get that there's a certain peculiarness to Barbados, yeah? I think George Bernard was writing about in Bayside Sketches. He was writing about Barbados, and he was saying that, you know, racism exists in Barbados, but the Barbadian people would deny that racism exists, and Barbadians know their place. I mean, he was writing this thing in the 1920s, 1930s. So yeah, in a sense, although we say that, I'm saying that we no longer have societies like Strathclyde and exclusively white or whatever. It seemed to be a knowing of the place. And in terms of even, we might even raise that question about our East Indian brothers and sisters as well, right? To what extent we have that kind of interaction. So that is one thing that I just would leave hanging. Yeah. In terms of what Aaron said, though, about anti-Black tropes, et cetera. We have to remember that there has been a resurgence of racism and a rise of neo-fascism. And so you can see why you would have these racist tropes. I mean, you just have to see what was happening in the United States, the rise of the Proud Boys and those racists, even the discourse surrounding the removal of the statues and the fact that the Robert E. Lee statue should be standing, et cetera. Okay. Right, so that is something that must be noted. But we must also note, and this is in relation to what Aaron said, Barbadians I don't make the separation between local and global because in my world, there's a pan world, right? So this is an all African response. And the battle, whether it is in Barbados, whether it is in Europe, or whether it was in Africa, right? The battle was for the humanity and the dignity of all African people. And that is why Barbadians identify with the struggles in Ethiopia, right? During the invasion of Abyssinia, Barbadians were praying and petitioning the king, et cetera, right? So Barbadians were involved in that struggle for human rights and dignity. In the 60s and the 70s, Barbadians involved in the Black Power movement in Barbados as well. In fact, politicians, the 1968, 1970 said that Black Power was not relevant to Barbados because the political managers were Black, but the commanding heights of the economy was white.
But is this still the case? You think this is still the case?
That the commanding heights of the economy is still white?
Yeah.
From all appearances, the commanding heights is definitely still white, but combination of local whites and foreign whites, because this is how the system seeks to perpetuate itself. We know that there had been advances by all the people. However, we know that nothing stands and don't change as well, right? Change is something that is constant. So one step forward, right? One step further forward, because, right, equity versus equality kind of discourse as well. But okay. Yeah, the Barbadians, and we must look at moments as well, because the Nelson thing was being discussed from the 1960s, right? On the eve of independence, Calvin Alleyne was saying, you've got to take down Nelson if independence will mean anything. And you look across Bridgetown. I once did a tour in Bridgetown where we were looking at the iconography of colonialism. And you just have to go into People's Parliament and you see a life-size image of the Queen looking down at you in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask yourself, is this really the People's Parliament?
Right.
Well, I'll stop there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's so many things that you all have brought up so far. I still put the question out there on segregation in Barbados, because even though we do not officially have segregation, does this happen on a voluntary basis? Is it true that people, as Dr. Worrell said, as Rodney said, know their place, and in knowing their place, keep to their particular, not necessarily just social group, racial group, ethnic group, religious groups in Barbados, and as such, feed into this, I guess, strangeness, otherness of different groups of people that can feed both anti-Black racism, I would say, but also other forms of discrimination. What do others think? Yes, Dr. Roach.
Hi, I just wanted to jump in here to extend on what Professor Kamagisha, what Mr. Worrell have been speaking about. So I'm a Bayesian, born and bred, and I happen to have white skin. So most of my experience traversing this island really has been one of kindness, of respect and camaraderie from my fellow Bayesians of all races. Okay. And most of what I've seen has been that respect, that camaraderie. However, there have also been some moments that have been uncomfortable, and they've caused me personally to reflect. Now, from what I've seen in the 30 years since my navel string was buried here, we have made significant progress, but as each of the fellow panelists keep reiterating, we do have this room to improve on race relations and discrimination. We don't see those recurrent overt violent clashes here between people of different skin color, and we have lots of positive examples that we can look to of people living and working together. And we do have systems such as our education and our healthcare that have gone a long way towards leveling the field. But unfortunately, there is some tension and there is that room to improve. Why do I say there's tension? I took the time to read hundreds of the comments that have been posted online, especially since the beginning of this month. And that indicates to me that there is at least this sense of injustice that persists to this day in terms of the application of the law, in terms of the ability to achieve and build wealth. So we're talking about class discrimination as well, and in that perception of being treated fairly.
So tell us what specifically you mean here, Louise. Who feels a sense of injustice and discrimination?
Barbadians.
Across the board, are you saying Black Barbadians of a particular class bracket or in general?
Well, I mean, that's hard for me specifically to pin down, because I read the comments. I didn't go and investigate, you know, whose particular username is tied to what account.
Yeah,
but from what I saw, the fact that there were hundreds of comments suggests that there's a significant enough proportion of Barbadians, and I would assume they come from different levels, who feel that there is an unfairness. And I think that sense of unfairness, you know, even just the sense there is unfairness, that is something that we need to legitimize by ensuring that we have in place system where we can report prejudice behavior, or we continue to develop our education system to improve race relations. So where, for example, in terms of in terms of our education system, I agree with what Lucy Hammonds had said in an article in the newspaper a few days ago. We need to continue to have more conversations about tolerance, about acceptance in the school system. We need more education on language. Why is certain language offensive? Where do these problematic ideas come from? What are they rooted in? And what more can we, on the optimistic side, do to celebrate achievement in our history, and specifically invasion history?
Okay. All right. Thank you. Does anyone else want to come in on this point? We have some of the WhatsAppers who are making some contributions here. There is someone who is saying that we should check and see how many Black millionaires there are in Barbados. We should carry out a survey in 2021 and see that many millionaires, see the many, many Black millionaires in Barbados who contribute to the Barbadian society. There are further comments about the educational system. The educational system just turns out workers for the white planter class. We don't feel we know. And there is someone who says, I would prefer not to use the term segregation. It connotes a separate development of the races and the political racist system of apartheid. Racism in Barbados exists in a strange, covert fashion. The races in Barbados come together mainly for productive purposes and then resort to their own racial, social enclaves. Black people are not racist. They are the victims, and the history bears this out. This leads to another question that I've seen other people ask and other comments that people have been making in the chat and elsewhere, which is about whether, first of all, what racism is, because there are some people who are saying this is a very diluted conversation because we are not defining what racism is, and also whether or not Black people can be racist. Can Black people be racist? Is this a possibility? Panelists, what are your thoughts? Go ahead, Java.
Yes, I think Black people can be racist. The person was not wrong in saying that we are the victims. Largely, history has shown that we are the burden bearers. But as I would have defined earlier, racism is the negative value placed on a group of people who belong to a certain race or skin color. And like I said, since Barbados, as a former British colony, had its own value systems imported with it, I think it's only natural that we would see, or rather not see, considering how unconscious it is, that it is possible for us to be racist. We might, you see, because racism is really very all-encompassing in many ways, in that there's a lot of multidimensionality to it, and we tend to look at it from a very narrow perspective. And I think that Black people largely are very quick to call out other Black people on taking the stance against, you know, Black people not being able to be racist, but to be able to exhibit prejudice behavior over another group of people usually comes with its issues. I'm not saying that Black people are not the victims. That's the very opposite of what I'm saying. But I wanted to also tackle the note of segregation, because I often thought to the question of segregation, I don't think we are necessarily very segregated, but I still don't think there's a harmony. There's a stable, rigid stratification that Barbados still manages to experience. However, there is a lot more progression on the part of Black people. And we see these things in very subtle areas in terms of the places that people go, the things that they do, because I think that racism, or rather anything to do with race, is almost inextricable from class. I was in the gym before the lockdown, and I was having a conversation with two of my gym partners, and both of them went to private school. And we were reflecting on the same topic of race before we would have gone to secondary school. And the elder gym partner actually marveled at the fact that there are so many more Black persons at his former primary school than there were in his time. He was one of two. So it came to him as a surprise. And these constant, you know, revelations, these things that come up in our daily conversation start to show how very unconscious we are of things. And I wanted to touch also on the point of that Barbadians, or rather the majority Black Barbadians, have seemingly accepted their place in society, quote unquote. I was having a conversation with an older gentleman last week, and he was noting as I was going somewhere that, you know, he said at one time, you couldn't have white doctors, you couldn't have white lawyers. But he made a comment along the lines of how, you know, a law degree is almost a new accounts degree. There's so many more Black Barbadian lawyers than there once were. However, there still remains the, well, I guess you could call it classist division, which lies in the fact that people of a certain class still tend to send their children overseas to be educated, while many Barbadians might sometimes send them here because they can't afford to send them overseas. That's another thing I wanted to introduce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Do you want to come in here? Oh, go ahead, Rodney. And Farhan, if you want to come in, please do so. And then we'll take a few calls.
Right. So saying the person is that you responded to their WhatsApp saying that we are speaking in a vacuum. I give a definition that I normally give to my students in my course, the Black Experience in the United States after 1865. So we use George Fredrickson, who is looking at the South African experience, apartheid. And he said that racism is not merely an attitude or set of beliefs, right? It expresses itself in the practices, institutions, and structures, right? And essentially a permanent group hierarchy that is believed to reflect the laws of nature or the decrees of God. So
can you read that class again? That was a bit much. That was a lot to digest. Can you take us through that again?
Okay. So I'm saying that he said that it's not merely an attitude or set of beliefs, because we have, I might have said I don't like somebody because they're white. But if I don't have the economic or the political power to affect right. their life chances, mm-hmm. I can't be racist, right? I may have, that might be a prejudicial statement or whatever, right? But he
racism
said-
Racism is a deeper system. It's not just-
Yeah, not merely an attitude or set okay. of beliefs. Mm-hmm. It also expresses itself in the practices, institutions, and structures, right? Which will create a permanent group hierarchy that is believed to reflect the laws of nature mm-hmm. or decrees of God. So if you look at the white supremacy inside of Barbados, it was constructed on the notion that whites had the divine right to rule and whites were superior, blacks were inferior, right? So because let us say I was an enslaved person hating, and I said, well, I don't like those white slave masters, would that have made me a racist? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying it is yeah. more than expressing. I have to have the power. Now, in an independent Barbados, because we have to look at, there were moments whereby you can make the argument that black people could not be racist. Because in most colonial societies, they did not have the power. They did not have the political nor the economic power. So now we have the political power that if the state can go and pass racist legislation, so that would mean that black government can be racist. But if we don't have the political or the economic power, then I don't think you can't be racist. So I'm saying yes, that black people can be racist, but we have to watch. Because if you're powerless, then I can't impact on your life chances. So yeah, racism is something that is complex and it is deep as well.
And it's highly political is what you're saying, because it includes the power dynamic.
Power, yes, yeah. That is the essence of this thing, power.
Okay.
And I would like to jump on that if I could. And I agree with very largely with most of, partly everything that Rodney has just actually said, because I think it's the practice of treating people as inferior and the power and the ability to do something, do this, which lies at the heart of racism. And of course, racism always generates certain kinds of myths and tropes. And I think that one of the great myths and tropes that has managed to perpetuate itself in post-independence society in Barbados has been the idea that white success in business is legitimate, particularly white businesses and white individuals who have acquired a great deal of their wealth in the 20th century. Because the idea is that white aggrandizement of wealth is not linked to slavery, okay, and the earlier colonial period. But this is actually false. We know it's false due to the fact that racist apartheid practices are prevalent in business throughout the 20th century in Barbados, into the 21st century. And this comes in the form of a control of major financial institutions, insurance companies, and all of these kinds of things. And also, crucially, the link between local and global white communities, which, of course, the two main political parties in the post-independence era have been very disinclined to actually challenge. And when I often hear Black Barbadians making comments about white Barbadians, which are clearly offensive and are highly problematic, it usually is coming on some level or the other out of that historical frustration and the understanding that there is a small minority in this country who largely have economic control over the lives of people and have denied aspirations of the majority of people in this society. This is one of the problems. So, of course, one of the myths that gets perpetuated is the idea that Black people are not good at business, or Black people are somehow culturally deficient, and that's why they have not succeeded at business. But we know this to be false, okay? And one of the groups of people who actually have sometimes the most ruthlessly and angrily, startling angry comments to say about white people among the Black community are actually Black upper middle class professionals, because they understand exactly how close they are to real power, but at the same time, how they are actually being used. Because the white corporate elite in Barbados figured out at a particular point that the best intellectual talent in the country, as you would expect in a country which is 95% Black, are actually Black professionals. Mm-hmm. So they decided then, okay, we're not going to have white-only companies or companies in which everybody in the board of directors is white, because we need that Black talent. So we're going to have them run our companies for us, but we're going to make sure that they do not have real control. And I think is one of the great dividing lines in post-independence Barbados. People know that this is an unjust situation, okay? And people are still trying to figure out how this actually works and what is the best way or mechanism of toppling this kind of white minority elite economic domination of the economy.
Thank you so much for that. It's very instructive. And it links into this comment that I am reading here on the WhatsApp. This listener is indicating something very similar to what you're saying. The person says, here's what I find suspicious. If you live in a society where when you see a white person standing at a bus stop, we know that they're a tourist. This is a problem. If no race is smarter than another, and let's say there is no segregation in Barbados, then if 5% of the Barbadians are white, 5% of the laborers should be white, 5% of domestics should be white, 5% of supermarket cashiers should be white, gas station attendants, those working in fast food establishments, etc. But we know that this is not the case here in Barbados. If a white person is working as a cashier, it's their family's business. Why is it that there are no white people going into the public service? Don't they want to get a secure government job like Black Barbadians do? No white immigration officers, none as prison officers, not one Barbadian white as a nurse in the polyclinic, none lining up to catch a ZR. And it goes on. Why is it that if you go to a work site and there is a white person, they are the boss? We know that all white people in Barbados are not more intelligent than their Black counterparts. So why are they always still in supervisory and middle management positions and never line workers? I guess all men are created equal, but some are more equal than others. I think that was quite an instructive, a point that's connected to that which you were making. We have some callers, so let's see what they would like to contribute. This is Down to Brass Tacks, Brass Tacks Sunday.